is June 29th, 2016. I know it's flying. Time is flying. And it's lesson number 307. It's called The Line of Effort and Line on the Back. No, this is just a really, really great lesson. We're going to emphasize, which I left out of the email, also the diagonals from last week, lengthening your back, and we're going to add some of the wrist stuff back in for the bridge position. By the way, did everybody get the email?
Yes.
Okay. Got that resolved. Yay! And Lynn, what happens is, just for you guys to know, so what happened is my email, the settings got all off. And I guess what happens is internally, the system notifies your email saying, this other email does not have its rhythm corrected. It's not set up correct. So it automatically doesn't accept. So once I got the input, and it's called importing and outporting, the numbers got scrambled. Once those numbers, those settings got correct with the host, right, then it's all cleared up. But that was interesting to know that that's what happened. So it's nothing wrong with your emailer, but that the email that I'm trying to send to, because mine is the scrambled one, it rejects it. And it's kind of a way to protect if there's viruses or whatever. Does that make sense? So, okay, so everybody got it? Barb, did you get an email?
I did.
Okay. So you're lying on your back with your arms down by your side, your legs long, and you're going to start to bring into your awareness the four points, the four dots that we've been working with over the last several weeks. So on your backside, we've been putting two dots or points in the center of each shoulder blade and then in the center of each buttocks. So there's a dot for each location, right? So that makes up four dots or points. And then you give those four points or dots a color. And first of all, just notice if they feel balanced or symmetrical, whatever that internal language is for you. Or immediately, does one, let's say, shoulder dot feel a little higher than the other, right? So this is just how you start to get in touch with yourself and start to understand how you are in your body, right? Often we don't know one shoulder's higher than the other. You okay, Corinne?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. And then you're going to connect the dots, right, to make a rectangle. And as you connect the dots to make this rectangle, you connect them with lines. All four lines are now a different color. And then again, you're going to just notice, how does your rectangle show up? Is it really a true rectangle? Or again, one side could feel longer than the other, right? And so then that means if one side's longer than the other side's shorter, then somewhere on that shorter side, you're kind of got a curve going on, right? So it means maybe a couple vertebrae are kind of a little close on that side, right? That's how you make sense of what this rectangle and these four lines and dots mean to you. And then what we've done is then we've created diagonals. So you're going to do a diagonal from the right shoulder blade dot to the left buttock dot. And then from the left shoulder blade to the right buttock dot. And then what you want to see is, where do those two lines intersect? And it's higher than most of the time we think, right? It's not down where the belly button is. It's higher. It's like right below the sternum. you know, kind of where we might think the top of our stomach or is, right? Right below the rib cage and sternum on the backside, right? Somewhere along there is your intersection. So maybe make that a larger dot in a different color. We'll think of that as the middle of you. So all of this is on your backside. And now you're going to bring your awareness to your front side. So you're going to keep these four dots and the fifth center dot and the lines all kind of in the back of your awareness, right? And it's how you're making contact on the floor. And now you're going to sense the front side of you. So the front of your shoulders. And then sensing where your collarbones are that connect to your sternum. Right, so if you follow the sternum down, and right below there, right, is kind of where that center place is. And then 3 or 4 inches below that is the belly button. And then about an inch or two below the belly button to each side is the sides of your hips and pelvis. Excellent. And then your legs are lying there. So slowly roll your head a little bit to the right and left, noticing the quality of rolling your head to each side. And then you'll bring it back to the center. And then again, continuing with the front side of you. So right now, all of you have your legs slightly spread apart. I call it like a mild V, which is great. But what I'm going to have you do now is bring your legs together so the inside of your feet somewhere touch, okay? And you're going to start to imagine that you have, I'm going to say it like a tennis ball because I think that's something easy to imagine. Let's say a tennis ball that's resting right where your ankles are. Okay, and you're going to do a movement in a moment with your feet to have this tennis ball start to roll towards your knees. So think about flexing your feet, that's it, so that you can watch the tennis ball roll to your knees. And then you'd like to have the tennis ball roll over the knees. Wait, Marlene, straight legs. Just flex the feet. Yeah, because if you spread your knees apart, guess what happened?
Yeah, I was thinking
the tennis ball.
Pushing the tennis ball along the floor.
No, you're gonna right. So that is a very good distinction. So the tennis ball is resting on your legs, and it's going to travel all the way up you. So it is not on the floor. So first of all, you flex your feet and it kind of rolls it. And once it gets past the knees, you're going to start to bend your knees a little bit so that it can... Barb, why are you releasing your feet? So flex your feet and now bend your knees. So the ball rolls towards your crotch. And it goes towards your tummy. And then what are you going to have to do with your lower back so it rolls up to the sternum? Nope, the other way, Lynn. Up to the sternum, that's it. So go to where the center of you is and then you're gonna let it all go back down. So then how do you change your back? So you lift the chest and you arch the lower back to roll it down to the pubic bone and then you slowly, that's it Marlene, lower the knees so it can come down all the way down to the ankles again. And then you would release the feet. And then you would flex the feet. The ball rolls up over the knees. You start to bend the knees a little bit. You flatten the lower back. That's it. And then once the tennis ball hits the sternum, you reverse it. Right? So we've done a movement just like this before, but I've described it as a movement. So now I'm describing that there's an activity involved with the movement, right? The activity is that you need to control this tennis ball. So something extraordinary happens in your brain when we involve the activity versus just asking movement, right? So another way of thinking activity is we got a gym out here, right? So you go and you lift weights and you do leg press or you sit on a spin bike. That's an activity, right? So this is a different form of a mental activity. So just really watch. The more you can get into this and enjoy it and feel how you can control this tennis ball rolling from your ankles up over the knees, down towards your crotch, then up to the sternum, and then you reverse it. Right? So there's a quality of smoothness in your transitions. Right? There's a time when your lower back is really flat to get it all the way up to the sternum, and then to get the ball back down to the pubic area, right? You got to arch the back. And it's almost like a wave, right? Is it starting to feel like, you know, like a serpent or something, right? You're like a wave that's rippling through your upper back down so that this tennis ball can roll. And you have to control it, because if you were to go too fast, the tennis ball could roll off the sides of you, right? You don't want to lose it. That's it. And then how are you breathing? So maybe a better question is to make sure that you're breathing, right? That you're not concentrating so hard that you're holding your breath. That's it. Yeah. Excellent, you guys. Beautiful. And let's just pause and let it rest for a minute. Let it go. So in some ways, if you were on your stomach and we were in water, it would be like doing the butterfly in a way. Just with your, you know, or do they call it like the dolphin? Not using your arms, but creating this ripple. So we're going to come back to it, and we're now going to add in more going all the way up to your throat, okay? So we're going to start in the very same way, down with our ankles and feet, and the difference will be is as soon as the ball gets up to your sternum, right? What do you need to do that you can continue? That's it, where you flatten your chest. Right? So that the ball can roll underneath your chin. And then you're going to lift your head away from the floor. So your chin will come back into your chest and the ball will flatten the chest. It'll roll down to the sternum. Right? Roll down to the belly. So how do you get it to go over the chest area? Right, so think of it this way. To get all the way up to your throat, you really have to round the upper back. Right, and then once you round, right, the upper back, because it's got to roll over up to your throat, and then you lift your head, right, and then you roll your back into a round. That's it. So it rolls back down. There you go. So go slow, right? It's like, it's interesting, the upper part adds a really, that's it, Brigitte, that's it. So you do this huge arch and then this huge rounding, right? A really big arch to get the ball all the way up to the throat. Arch, arch, nope, arch. Yeah, there. Then, that's it. And then now really sink. So you guys really sink with the sternum. Right? So when you lift your head is when you're going to really sink with the sternum. Right? So Marlene, then now the other way. When you lift your head, Sink with that sternum. Sink, sink. Yes. Roll the shoulders forward. That's it. And then don't lose the knee part. So some of you could bend your knees just a tad more. Barb, you're good. Beautiful, Lynn. But don't forget about your knees, Lynn. So now roll the ball up, bend the knees a little more, a little bit more, Lynn, so that you slide the heels up. So if you bend the knees a little bit, keep doing it, bend the knees a little bit more and slide the heels, feel how that flattens the upper back so the ball can get up past the sternum. All right, that's better, you guys. And then when you go to lift your head, it's all the way up to your throat, and you round, then the knees start to straighten back out. That's it, Lynn. And make sure you're breathing. And ask yourself, are you working hard? So if you're working too hard, can you soften it? And where are you working hard? Physically or mentally? Ooh. Okay. Beautiful, Lynn. That's it, Marlene. Okay, let's let it go and rest. So this time, let's go ahead and bend your knees, bring your feet up to standing. And then you're going to interlace your hands and place them underneath your head. So behind your head, right? And I call it making a hammock. So you bend the elbows slightly towards the ceiling. And then once you're there, bring your knees up over your chest. You okay with this, Lynn? Yeah? So your knees are hanging in your chest, and then lift your head. So Marlene, that's it, fold your elbows. So you're kind of making a sack, right? So imagine the tennis ball. So your knees are a little bit more away from you, Corinne, because you're crunching your tennis ball. So your tennis ball's down by your pubic bone, right? And you're gonna roll it up to the sternum and then roll it back down. So just along your belly. So that means you're gonna lift the pelvis a little bit to roll it up to your throat, and your head goes back down a little bit. And then as you lift your head a little bit higher, it rolls back down. That's it, Lynn. So Marlene, so start again, pause. It's with your head. You get all freaked out lifting your head. So really put your hands behind your head and fold your elbows, not like this. That's there you go. So create a sack. You're like, yeah. So now, if you lift up in your pelvis, knees straight up, not knees, no, not feet. Lift your butt up. Butt.
That's as high as it'll go.
Not your head. No, you can lift your butt up. There, I'll try a little more. And then roll the ball. Don't lift your head more. So you guys, do your legs straight then. Lift your butt up in the air. Get the butt. Yes! Get your butt up. Not, knees can't go into the chest. Lift straight up. This is back to core. Roll the ball towards your throat. Try not to throw it. And then you lift your head. Better, Marlene, right? Yeah, this tells you about core, guys. So here's your legs, just up with your pelvis. Your pelvis is touching, and then up. And then you lower it. And then you lift your head to roll the ball. And then the pelvis comes up. And then maybe try keeping your head down and your arms down for a minute. Let's bring your arms by your side since this is hard for all of you. Legs are up, knees are relaxed and bent. Okay, but you do not bring your knees into your chest. Your feet are towards the ceiling. Feel the weight in your butt and lower back and peel your butt up. And if you need to, you can press your hands into the floor. But don't hop it, right? I want you to learn to peel and peel it back down or lower it back down, right? Oh, Lord. This is your core. So just, yeah, so try, just try to peel, yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean, I always thought this muscle was really strong because I can do these all day.
Yeah, but you don't. It's when you're thrusting, you're just using momentum.
Yeah.
So think peel, right? I mean, if you can do five of these, that's awesome. That's truly working your core. Okay, go back down. Let's rest for a minute. Whoo! Nice. That tells you something, right? So 90% of the things people do out in the gym there, they cheat. They're not really activating. They're just cheating. They're throwing themselves, right? So legs long, always to rest. Legs long, rest, rest. Oh. Okay, so let's try this idea again, right? So you're going to bend your knees. Your hands come under your head. The other image that I like images, right? I think of like a teardrop, right? So my whole backside is rounded like a teardrop. Okay, but you wanna keep your knees away from your chest because you got the tennis ball. And so I'm gonna lift my butt up a little bit and then the back of my head comes closer to the floor so my tennis ball rolls under my chin and I catch it. And then I'm gonna lift my head and move my chin a little bit away to release it, and the bottom of my pelvis touches, right? Because it's coming down to the pubic bone. That's where the tennis ball is now. And then I'm going to lift up the butt, right?
So it's easy.
Yeah, if you guys want to, can you see me? If you want to watch me for a minute, I'll come so you can see. So yeah, it should be smooth, right? So, all right, here you are. So the knees are relaxed. You can't do this, right? Okay, so I'm going to lift, and now I catch the tennis ball here. So see how my head's almost touching. Now I'm gonna bring the chin forward and see how my pelvis comes back down. I'm rolling the ball. And now I'm going to lift the pelvis up and lower my head.
It's so easy.
Right? It's not this. This is a hop.
Yes.
It's very subtle, right? You're rocking like this. You just give it a try one more time. And Corinne, you were worried about us getting any movement in here.
Okay.
My new gal's getting it. Lynn, you're getting it. That's it, Barb. And like I said, if you guys can just do it two or three times and let it go and rest. See, if you do something correctly, you can only do it about that many times. That's why there's an insanity about trying to do things 20, 30, 50 times. Okay. Excellent, let's let it go and rest. Oh, now we're gonna go back in a moment to rolling the tennis ball from the ankles back up to just to the sternum. Not yet, rest first. That is gonna feel so much easier. Your ripple's gonna be so much clearer. So imagine bringing your tennis ball back to your feet. Bring your feet together, right? There it is. Right, and it's going to start to roll up over the knees, and then the knees bend. Right, you slide the heels, and now it's down to your crotch, and you round the lower back. That's it, Marlene. And then it comes, you can bring it all the way to your chin if you can, and then you'll lift your head, right? And then you'll roll it back down. And really feel now what's different in that whole mid-back, lower back, right? The ripple. Isn't that clearer and smoother now? Something changed from the last movement. Right, Lynn? Something. That's it, Barb. And lift your head. That's it, Lynn. And then let it roll back down. Beautiful. That's it, Corinne. Okay, excellent. And let's let that go and rest again. So really rest, notice your inhalation, your exhalation. Notice the four dots, the four lines, and the center dot of your diagonals. And now this time you're going to spread your feet a little bit apart, creating that nice V. Remember how we did the V? We're going to go to the V from last week. And then you're going to slide your arms along the floor to do the upper V with your arms. So you guys remember, it's like doing the snow angel. And what's really important is that the elbows are straight. Okay? Excellent. Okay, so now the back of the hands are on the floor, so you're up. We're going to start with the right hand. So this is where your tennis ball is. So your tennis ball is in the right hand. And it's now going to start to roll towards the right elbow, towards the right armpit, and towards back to the center place. And then you're going to reverse it where the sternum is. But Lynn, you don't get to lift it that high, right? No, go way back down. So minimal lifting like we just did with the legs, right? This is a ripple. So if you're like this, just think of curling the fingers a little bit, right? How do you get the tennis ball to roll? That's it, Marlene, through the wrist to the elbow. And then you can lift a little bit in the elbow, no more than that, to the armpit. And then what do you do? That's it, with the shoulder. And then you're going to all the way back down. But no bending. So try not to bend that much. That's it. That's it, Marlene. Try not to overbend. Right? So it's the same kind of ripple thing. So you can lift a little bit, Lynn, but not... Yeah, and about that much, Lynn, but you don't lift towards the ceiling. Does that make sense? So you curl the arm first, right? Curl, and then you bend a little bit in the elbow and a little bit. But the bend, look at me now, right now. Watch what I do with my upper body. You see, to get it to my sternum, it's this, right? It's not this. See, I make an arc with my arm, and then I bend through here. You see, this is an arc. How much do I always talk about arcs? Nothing with the head, Marlene. Let that poor head rest on the floor. So now curl your arm a little bit more, Marlene. Your hand. There you go. Curl the hand. Right? Create an arc here. You can only, okay, you can only bend the elbow to create an arc. So you bend enough that it creates an arc. This is an arc. You do not do that. That's a bent line. Okay, from here to here, right? Arc. See, this is an arc, right? Do you see that? I'm a good arc. So it doesn't look like really my elbow's bent because the wrist is bent equivalent and you're bending inside the shoulder joint to make an arc. Arc. And then you pivot. So yes, the hand can come up as long as the shoulder blade, you're bending through that. Beautiful. That's the idea. It's an arc. There you go. Yeah. Right? You feel how different that is?
Yes.
Right? So, Brigida, you're still doing this. So, arc. Nope. First of all, see, you missed last week. Your arm's here.
Oh, damn.
Okay, This is bent, you see?
Oh.
No bending. And then you're going to arc, arc. Why are you lifting your head? I said no head. Arc there.
And do I lift the shoulder up?
No, you want to think of sinking down.
Oh, okay. Now
right?
I get it.
Yeah, sinking down to get it down there.
Yeah, I get it.
Sorry if I pushed too hard there. That's it, Barb. Oh, my God. Some of you are doing great arcs. Now, can you get the ball to roll? This gets a little trickier. To your left hip. And guess what you're going to do as soon as it gets to the left hip? The left hip's going to have to then lift to catch the ball to get it to roll back. But Lynn, why are you bending the left knee? So create a V with your legs. You have the most minimal V. Spread your legs. There you go. Spread them wider. There you go. Now just think of the edge of the hip. Yes, that's the movement. Okay? There you go. Look at that, Corinne. That is what... You're doing it beautifully. That's it, Marlene. That's it, you guys. So the ball goes from the right armpit to the left hip. Brigida, beautiful. But don't let the ball roll off you. It's a little too big of a movement in the hip. Right? If you do too big of a movement, the ball's going to roll off your side. My new gal's going to think we're insane in here. Rolling tennis balls along our body. That's it. Let's bring your leg a little there. And then just, it's like that, yeah. And catch it up there and then lift the arm. And then back and then there. Yeah. Okay, excellent. Let's take a rest. Whew! Because we're gonna do it on the other side. It's not easy rolling tennis balls, is it?
Thank goodness.
Thank God it's not a bowling ball. They weigh a lot.
You would just roll off.
Actually, it would be kind of fun to use a real tennis ball. It would really teach you a lot. Did I ever tell you about the series we did of the books?
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we spent an entire month learning to hold books on your feet, on your back. That's why with what we just tried for you guys, right? And then when you had the books, then you put your books on your hands. And then you learned to roll onto your stomach, not dropping the books.
Yellow. Blue. Blue is the only answer.
Took a month. It is the most, when there was only maybe five of us that really got it, you know, but once you got it, it's just so beautiful to watch. The same time.
Feet and hands.
Yep, feet and hands, and you got four books. You know, so you're on your back. Corinne's got the image, right? So you're here, right? And so you've got to be able to turn in a way where you don't lose. Oh, did I roll over this? Where you don't lose anything. So, yeah, so you're here. And there's a way to do it. Anyways. It's super fun. We came to find out that the best books to use were Dr. Seuss books. No, really, because they're big enough, they're rectangular, and they're not very thick. Because in the beginning with this, there was a lot of book falling, right? Like just even get your foot flat. So it's always slipping off. And you don't want a heavy book hitting into you. And it's got sharp corners. So we started with, we had all these Dr. Seuss books. No, really, it was one of the most fun times during our training to do this. It was extraordinary to learn what you could do with your foot and your leg. And once, you know, but we started one foot at a time, the other foot. Then we tried both feet. Then you went to one hand, the other, you know. That would be fun for us to do in here. So all the movement comes inside the shoulder joint, comes with the spine, because you can't lose that wrist position or the foot.
We may need a little more than a week though, boss.
Oh, no, yeah, we would have to do it over like months. Months. Okay, back to your V's. Let's make the V's so we can do the left arm Right, we're going to go left armpit, hand, first of all to the armpit. And you're going to roll the ball back and forth there. And then as that gets familiar, you can slowly let that tennis ball go past your sternum in the midline, over to that right hip, right? And you catch it with the right hip. So the right hip curls up and catches it so it can roll back to the armpit. And then the other tricky thing about this, right, is being able to still breathe. Right? So really pay attention, like as this is coming along for you, that you're inhaling, you're exhaling, you're not holding your breath. And that's the hardest thing for me. As soon as I'm focusing, like really concentrating, I find myself, I'm holding my breath. So it's like, why do I need to hold my breath when I'm concentrating? And there's no magical formula for your breath. So it's not, oh, this is when I inhale or this is when I exhale. The magic is just allowing your breathing to be whatever it is. That it flows despite the movement that you're doing and the concentration that you're having. Excellent. Let's take a pause. Let's bring your arms down and rest for a minute. Really good, you guys. What I'm most impressed with is from last week, how well you guys are with your elbows now. Okay, so before we do the next movement, I'm going to have you imagine it. So I'm going to describe the next movement. And what I'd like you to do is imagine, see yourself doing the movement first before you even, well, we'll start by being in the position, but before you start moving, okay? Really take yourself through what we're going to do a couple times in your mind before you start moving. So bring both arms back up to your V. The legs are in the V, okay? So what you're going to do now is we're going to make like, it's more like a rectangular circle, could we say? So it's going to, the ball's going to start in your right hand and it'll go down to your right armpit. And from your right armpit, it's going to go down to the right hip. And then it's going to cross over to the left hip. Then it's going to go up to the left armpit and then across your throat back over to the right armpit. Okay, so you're going to contain it from the right armpit, right hip, left armpit. Right, so it's kind of, you know, you make some curves, but it's still kind of a rectangle, right? So see that the ball, the tennis ball, moving from one of those points to the next. So you see it happening, and then you start to create the movement for yourself to create the ball to roll. And again, you've got to contain the ball so you can't do too big of a movement and have the ball, you know, roll too fast and it can't roll off your right hip and you can't just sling it over to the left and then you got to curl up the left hip after you lift the right, as soon as you start lowering the right to lift the left so that it doesn't roll off the edge, right? So you have these edges, perimeters. And it's you and your movement that create the perimeters to keep the ball rolling. And then it goes up to your armpit, and from one armpit across your throat, under your chin to the other armpit. No, you go right arm, right arm to right hip to left hip to left armpit. Rectangle. Yeah, we did diagonals before. Yeah. Sorry about that. That was unclear. Yep, left hip to left armpit. So think the rectangle. So you only start with the right arm once, and then your arm stays down, Corinne. Just start at your armpit. Start at right armpit to right hip. Right hip to left hip. Left hip to left armpit. Left armpit to right armpit. Now, as you're doing this, because you guys are doing great, right? So your arms and legs are just lying there, right? So it's really your trunk. So really feel how you're shifting your trunk, right? So, I mean, this kind of just goes to what we were talking about. It's this organization in your trunk that would allow you to hold the books on your hands and feet, right? How do you move this trunk? Barb, you don't need to do anything with the legs. Just chill it with the legs. Spread your legs a little wider and just let those puppies relax, right? So the legs relax, the arms relax, they're indifferent. You're moving your trunk around your forearm, you know, joints, so your two legs and your two arms. Try not to, okay, so this is really interesting what you're doing. So try to think inside your armpit. You're using, remember, you're on the front side of your body. So this is really interesting because this is your habit. So you're kind of back to your habit. You're doing this. You're twisting here. The ball is here in the armpit. So it's the arcing, right? That's it. That's what you do. You do not curl the shoulder blade like this, right? It's in your armpit. So your armpit, right, it's that arcing to get down to the hip and then rolling to the other hip, right? It's this trunk. You know, this is what a lot of these kids do called break dancing. No, really. It's this wiggly stuff that they can do in their trunk independent of their arms and legs. We're all stuck there. But yeah, that was, thank you for calling me over because you were starting to do that.
Yeah.
Now you're getting it. And you guys, I've said this before, Corinne, excellent. When in doubt, just visualize. Just visualize, right? So that's why I'm trying to give you armpits, right? So you do not curl the shoulder up and round it forward, right? The ball goes from the armpit. So visualize the front side of you. Right, and you're rolling this ball through those four points. That's it. My new gal's gonna think I'm crazy. What kind of class? I went to the strangest class today. We had to think about rectangles and dots and diagonals and. Right, have you ever watched some of those, like, there was this one boy, I'm trying to think what show I saw him on. He was phenomenal at moving his body, right, and doing these ripples and these things, right? And it's all in this trunk area, right? And it's kind of like a form of mime, almost like mime dancing or whatever, right? And what was interesting is when you watched his feet and legs did the most minimal. They hardly moved at all. All the gesturing and posturing was this rippling through the trunk. Okay, let's pause. Oh, it's exhausting. Rest. Yeah, I mean, it gets things to move that, we're gonna try it one more time, one last time, and what we're gonna do is go the opposite direction. Are you okay? So, okay, so find a better location, I'll help you. So, let's bring your arms up, legs apart. So, yeah, because what you're,
thanks,
sorry to step, yeah, standing over you, but yeah, so if you can feel you're like here, so just stay there for a minute. This clavicle, you feel it's angled so much higher. Mm-hmm. This one's out like this.
Yeah, I'm up. definitely uneven.
Now, is that a little bit better?
Okay.
Is that a little bit better?
I think so. We'll see.
Let's
see. Over a minute.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's change the, go the opposite direction. We'll just do it a couple times. I've exhausted you guys in your mind. You're what? So one of the things is, so Brigitte is so sweet over here. She's like, I'm not sure I'm getting it. And then I'm listening to her and watching her talk herself through it, right? And, you know, here's the thing with all of you. You tremendously underestimate yourself. Okay? And why? Because our society does that. We learn to trust everything outside of ourselves. And just watching how your mind was working and connecting with your body, you were doing fantastic. Trust yourself. Trust what you feel, right? I gave you the basic instructions. Trust yourself. Trust it. Trust that, you know, and the more that you use your mind to visualize what I told you to do, you're getting it. There is no perfect way to do this because it's an imagery, right? And we're just hallucinating. We don't even have the ball, so we're imagining. Trust yourself. Okay, you're doing it. All of you are moving really wonderful, but you underestimate yourself, right? And part of what I'm trying to teach you is to trust yourself so then if you do go to somebody else's class, that you can actually course correct yourself. Catch yourself. Beautiful. Okay, let's rest it. Let's bring your arms down. You guys did great. Oh, let's do this. Let's bend your knees. Bring your knees up over your chest. Interlace your hands behind your head. And we did this last week, right? Just like a baby position. And let's rock a little bit left and right. So knees are hanging out just like a baby. Rock a little left and right. Oh, I think maybe I had your hands with your knees. Right? Spread the knees wide apart. Remember we did this last week? And you rock all the way over to the right and then to the left. Barb, can your hands be below your kneecap, not under your knees? And that's your shin. Where's your kneecap? It's very, very specific. The only person that can be under is Lynn. And Corinne, turn your hands ape-like. Yeah. So roll all the way. Go to each side, right? And one of the things that we discovered last week is how well your balance was, right? Good, okay, now let's let that go. See if that helped your back and everything kind of assimilate. So now with your legs long, your arms down by your sides, check in and see how you're making contact with the floor. You can check into your four points and your rectangle and your dots and lines and just how are things feeling now. You know, so this lesson is more about kind of waking up this whole trunk area, right? So we've been working a lot with the upper back, but this brought the pelvis into it and just getting your whole trunk to, I'm going to say wake up, become more alive. We tend to rely on our limbs. And then that's where we have the most problems, right? If we have issues in our shoulder joints and our hip joints and we're over relying on those joints because the trunk is locked up. Slowly roll your head a little bit to the right and left and see how that feels. Excellent. Okay. And then as you're ready, you're going to roll to your side, come to sitting and standing to see how you feel in standing.